everyone, welcome to Pod Bangtan, where we watch Run BTS and talk about it after. This week, we're watching episode one.
The inaugural episode.
The very first episode.
All right, tell us a bit about this episode, because it's really short.
Yeah, so it's kind of a fake out, but hopefully that means that our listeners had time to check it out. Episode one is called Open, and it's more of a trailer, really, for Run BTS and also the new VLive app, which we went into detail about in our episode last week. So this first episode was published on August 1st, 2015, almost 6 years ago.
Crazy. Like, yeah. It seems like a long time ago, but also not.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but time is moving weird at the moment.
So. Yeah, totally. And so in 2015, Polly, neither of us were ARMY or K-pop fans, but now we know that this is a very great BTS era.
Yeah. I mean, upon reflection, it is one of my favorite eras of BTS.
Yeah.
It is the HYYH era, or also known as Hwayang Yeonhwa. It's similar to the Chinese characters as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Also known as?
The most beautiful moment in life.
Yeah. So why do you think this is ARMY's most beloved era?
I mean, I think the albums that came out during this era are really good. They're really solid albums. But I think it's also kind of a special moment if you were in the fandom at this time. This is when BTS started getting more recognition. So this is when they started having their first music show wins. And they started really getting momentum after more than 2 years after debut.
Yeah, and I think it's like a turning point from... Not a turning point, but it's like when they're, you know, being the youths. Because I feel like when in No More Dream in that era, they're still like fairly young.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in this era, they're like, we're now young adults. And I think, you know, in some of the music videos from this era, you get to start seeing the BTS universe and their stories and kind of their struggles. And to be honest, they all look so good in this era.
Yeah. That's a key point. They look great.
Yeah. Visuals on point. So I guess for those of you who are quite new to BTS like us, is there a song you would recommend from this era?
So my favorite song from this era is Boys With Fun. Mm. And that is actually the song, I think it plays in the very beginning of this episode.
And this is the song where V gets to choose his choreo for a part of it.
It's so cute. It is so cute.
My favorite song that is not as popular is Converse Tie from this era.
Mm.
It's really cute. I think if they've changed the names a few times, because I don't think they could use Converse or something. But there's a really cute performance of them on a TV show.
Ooh.
And it's really catchy. So if you like a more sweeter pop BTS song, I go for Converse High. So back to this Run BTS episode.
Yeah, I think the first thing that we both wanted to talk about this episode was kind of going into a bit more detail on why BTS might have wanted to start their own variety show. Like last week we talked about, as you say, Polly, how they were an early adapter of VLive, and it seemed like they must have had this idea and like this was going to help them create regular content on this new app. But it wasn't, I don't think, just a marketing thing. Like there were some other drivers for why BTS might have wanted to start their own variety show. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But if you watched this episode with us, you might have caught a moment in the very, very brief 4 minutes where RM said, "It's so fun when we're left alone. The way we get along with one another will show you what it's like, the way it is." And to me, I think even as I was watching it the first time, I was like, aha, like, it's so fun when we're left alone, because they had not had great experiences on variety shows up to this point. And maybe this was his way of like very nicely saying, it's better when it's just us and not other hosts or other people on the show.
Yeah, and I think the other part is, I think V or one of them, I think a few of them mentioned like seeing many sides of us.
Yeah.
And I think I've noticed in Korean dramas and like other variety shows, like in Asian culture, especially, well, not especially, but I think there's something about like, there's always this need to want to see multiple sides of a person.
Interesting.
Like, not only, like, people want to see them crying, laughing, smiling, it being angry, being happy. Like, that, I think that brings a dimension to them. Like, I think in a lot of Korean dramas or shows, they're like, I only see one side of you, and I don't know if I trust that because I don't know or haven't seen the other sides of you. And I think there's something about that showing that bit of it. Obviously, they're, you know, not angry and crying in Run BTS, but I think there's something about like seeing beyond the surface. And I think that is what you expect more also out of like K-pop and like those kind of artists compared to Western artists.
Yeah.
I don't think there's this expectation to see, I don't know, many sides of Ariana Grande or many sides of The Weeknd.
Definitely not.
Do you see what I'm saying? So yeah. I think, yeah, it was just interesting they mentioned that.
But yeah, yeah.
Anyway, coming back to your point about why they decided to create an episode themselves or a TV show themselves. I mean, they debuted back in 2013. So this is kind of, this episode was 2 years after they debuted pretty much, wasn't it?
So their debut single is a song called No More Dream. I am going to assume most people listening to the podcast will have heard that song. Their debut performance was on Mnet Countdown, and they also performed another song from their first album called We Are Bulletproof Part 2. And I guess I can just dive right in to some... Guys, my specialty here is going to be research, I think. I'm carving a niche for myself.
But put that scientific approach to good use.
Yeah. A lot of ARMY already know these stories, and I am just going to be recapping it for you if you already know this. Or if you don't know this, I have tried to, like, cross-check different sources to verify information. Like, I'm not just relying on random Twitter threads. I'm trying to, like, cross-check things. So this is to the best of my ability in the last week. This is what I found. So starting from the very beginning, after their debut in June 2013, BTS really struggled to appear on variety shows. And this is part of the mythology of BTS. They came from a small company. That small company didn't have great connections within variety shows and the existing infrastructure of Korean entertainment, really. So they struggled. And fun fact, ARMY has concluded, based on lyrics from the hidden track C, that BTS actually got their debut stage because another idol dropped out, because Suga raps in C, someone else's empty spot is our dream. And as far as I can tell, BTS, their management has never confirmed that that actually happened, that someone else dropped out of Countdown and that's how BTS got their debut spot. But ARMY thinks that's the case because of this line in C.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, I've also seen there's a lot of Instagram content and Twitter content and memes and stuff where it talks about how, like, there was a point where I remember seeing a clip where BTS was performing, I think, at a fashion show or something.
Mm.
And they were just trying to get all the opportunities to perform when they could, even though they just didn't have that many, like, mainstream opportunities that maybe other groups had.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, like, the clips of them handing out, like, flyers on the street, isn't there? Like, do you know BTS?
Yeah.
Like, come to our show, come to our show. Yeah. 6 years later, after their debut, so this is also after Run BTS started, they recorded a reaction video for Mnet, a reaction video of them watching their debut performance. And it's one of my favorite BTS videos, I think. It's also very famous quotes, like when J-Hope is like, you can see the intensity in our eyes. And V goes, it's the eyeliner.
I mean, they were wearing like top and bottom lid liner.
Yeah, it was heavy.
Yeah, it was a heavy look.
Yeah, so this is a really like famous reaction video on YouTube. But in their very nice way for the company that has asked them to do this reaction video and that had allowed them to do their debut, they did kind of provide some insight into what that early debut season was like for them. So they talked about things like how their verses were cut short due to time constrictions, and shows were trying to shoot their dance breaks from the side to try to see how they did that hat trick where Jimin throws the hat to Jungkook and it looks like Jungkook catches it, and like that all the shows were trying to shoot them from an angle to try to like get the secret instead of just like shooting it properly and letting it look cool on TV. And also that there were some really mean comments, people making fun of them in the comments, and you could just see, I mean, that as nostalgic as it was to watch back this performance, that like there were, it wasn't the easiest time for them.
Yeah, and I think, as I think you mentioned briefly, when they were on Island, that and Hypin creation show, I think they also, you know, always talk about the fact that they didn't have very much food and they all like lived in a really cramped dorm. And I think there were still, I think, as you say, in a lot of their reactions or some of their interviews, and when they kind of come face to face with younger idols and stuff, you see some of that content come. And I mean, knowing how exhausting even doing a debut is and going back to back on shows, if you were to kind of practice and just wait for hours and hours and you may or may not get in, like that must be very disheartening.
Yeah, because there is another video, and this is them reacting to an interview that they did about 5 days after their debut, so they're super super young. I think it's in the same series for Mnet. And it's really cute. They're like, oh my gosh, this is so cringe to watch this. But they also, I think again it was Jimin, but I think someone commented, oh, it's a good thing that this interview was 5 days after our debut, because if it had been 7 days after our debut, we wouldn't have been able to say we had anything else booked.
Yeah. I mean, you should watch it if you haven't watched it already, them reacting to it, or actually the debut video.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting also to see how their intro evolved over time. They're pretty hard with the Bangtan intro. But they were also so nervous.
Yeah.
Like when they were being interviewed one-on-one, you could see them like trying to get the words out, but they were so nervous. And obviously Jungkook was so young at the time.
Such a baby.
So young. Yeah. So yeah, I really do appreciate. I mean, I don't, even if I like thinking it back, would I have been in ARMY like back in 2013?
I mean,
I don't know.
The music holds up. And
true.
I did watch debut performances from a few other groups to compare. And I don't think, I mean, I'll just spoil what I'm going to do here. But like I compared BTS's debut year to EXO because it's like a really comparable timeline boy band. And EXO's debut performance, they look petrified, absolutely petrified. Like Kai, who I think of as this like incredible performer, looks like a deer in the headlights. Like he looks absolutely petrified.
Anyway, so you looked at their debut. How many shows were they on? And yeah, how did it, did they continue to book shows after, or what happened?
Yeah, so following their debut, they promoted their debut song on music shows over the period of 3 months following their debut, and they performed on 26 different music shows, which isn't bad, really.
No, that isn't bad.
Yeah, and they appeared on a total of 3 variety shows over the rest of the year in 2013. It seems like a really small number. And then the next year after their debut, so 2014, they appeared on 7 variety shows. So for comparison, as I've already mentioned, I compared them to EXO because, like I said, there's this like this mythos of BTS, like, oh, they're from a small company, they really struggled to get appearances, da-da-da-da. And I was like, well, let's just not take that at face value. Let's actually compare them to a comparable boy band in a comparable era from a big agency. So EXO is from probably the biggest music agency in Korea, SM.
At the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Not right now, but at the time, yes.
Yeah. And they debuted with a song called Mama on April 8th, 2012. So about a year before BTS. So really similar timelines, really. And for comparison, they performed that single on over 40 shows over a longer period of time. So 5 to 6 months following their debut, they performed on over 40 shows. But they also only appeared on 3 variety shows in their debut year. So in 2012, EXO, and this is specifically EXO-K, only appeared on 3 variety shows because at the same time, there was this other group, EXO-M, that was promoting the same single in China. So they were kind of co-promoting.
Yeah. I mean, this is when they were, I mean, SM was experimenting with 2 bands of the same name, but a Korean version and a Chinese version.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, I mean, 26 versus 40, I mean, you don't have to know math to know it's still not great, is it?
Yeah. And the year after their debut, at this point, EXO had kind of abandoned the K versus M thing, and they were just promoting together. And the year following their debut in 2013, they appeared on 22 variety shows. So kind of immediately really upped their variety show appearance, whereas BTS went from 3 their first year to 7 their second year. Yeah. So you can definitely tell, like, they weren't getting the coverage that a big group from a big agency was getting.
Yeah. I mean, as you can, you've been talking about, you know, comparing BTS with larger agencies. I think ARMY back then must have had a really hard time too.
Yeah.
Right? Can you imagine if you like saw them on Mnet, they debuted, you like followed them with No More Dream and We Are Bulletproof Part 2, and you're like, this is a great band. I love them already. I buy their music. And you're like, where are they?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, how do I see them? Why are they? I mean, now I'm more critical about watching performances and like how they do the camera work and like what shows they're on and like whether the companies do teasers before and like how many teasers and all the kind of marketing for every comeback kind of thing. And I could see if you were an ARMY back then, shout out to ARMYs from 2013, let us know how it was. Must have been really hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a way, this is the whole like ARMY BTS relationship where the hardship was there for BTS. The hardship was there for ARMY too.
Yeah.
So it really, it's the whole like triumph through difficult times thing.
Yeah.
Where in theory it builds a really strong foundation for ARMY, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it makes every victory sweeter.
Yeah. So, within this, HYYH era of this Run BTS episode, they also got their first win, didn't they?
Yes. So, starting in 2015, so we're now 2 years after their debut, they got their first music show win with I Need You. But they still were really struggling to get onto variety shows. So they only made 15 appearances on variety shows in 2015. And the other big allegation from ARMY is that BTS, not only did they struggle to get onto variety shows, but when they did get onto variety shows, they got really poor treatment. So BTS fans frequently cite some examples of times when they felt that BTS was treated really poorly on variety shows. There is an episode of the Four Things show where Rap Monster went on, well, at the time he was called Rap Monster, RM went on, and they had him read hate comments, and he didn't look like he was enjoying that very much. They made an appearance on Weekly Idol, and their airtime was split with another artist because they weren't considered popular enough to get the full time. And apparently Yoongi wrote a song for the hosts and they told him they didn't like it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty mean.
Yeah. And I think there was another episode where they were interrogated about plagiarism and they kind of visibly looked uncomfortable answering these questions. But what I think is interesting is that two of the most famous examples of what ARMY considers to be, you know, poor treatment of BTS actually happened after Run BTS started. So there was all this, you know, difficulty and maybe mistreatment early on. They weren't enjoying their experiences on the variety shows that they were able to get onto. So maybe that drove them to start Run BTS. But then even after that, I was really surprised to find this because I thought both of these things happened early on.
Because, yeah, so when one of the mistreatment situations was about RM and his pink hair. And he said he would never do pink hair again.
After that, and,
Yeah, and for Butter era, he has gone pink. And I feel like that is him being like, in your face.
Yeah. So the pink hair comments happened in December 2015.
Right.
And then,
so like 4 months after.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Jungkook's appearance on Flower Crew, which is just devastating, happened in September 2016.
Interesting. I mean, I think the other thing I mentioned to you is having watched a bunch of these. I mean, I love a variety show. Like, I love them. I could just watch them endlessly. And I've seen them of various K-pop groups on them. And I could see that, like, for newer groups, there is an uncomfortable air.
Yeah.
Whether it's the artist being so new, and because not everyone's, like, variety show is a specific skill. Like, even you can tell people, like, you have to exaggerate your reactions, you have to be really witty in your responses, and you have to like show chemistry on screen, like on demand as needed kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think earlier, like rookies, not rookies, but early debut artists tend to have this nervousness about them that is really palpable. Mm. And I feel like some hosts definitely pounce on that and kind of, they can choose, you can tell, they can choose to be nice to them or they can choose to kind of make it worse. And sometimes they do make it worse. I guess coming back to your point, BTS was not part of a large agency at the time. And so I was saying that in some like labels, for example, the label that EXO is part of SM, they have a lot of sunbaenims or seniors in the label who often sometimes are MCs on these variety shows. And I feel like there is a level of like label family.
Mm.
So, like, it's like if you went, you know, all those movies where, like, there's multiple siblings and you're picked on as a little sister, but then your brother comes to defend you against the bullies kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because they happen to be at the school at the same time or they go to the same school or whatever. It's a bit like that with the MCing, whereas obviously BTS didn't have sunbaenims in the industry to kind of protect them.
Yeah.
So I could see that maybe through that they were also not as nice to them because they could be.
Yeah. And no one was there to really stop them.
Yeah, which is really sad.
So sad. So sad. I mean, I think all of these factors are part of why BTS probably do feel more comfortable when they're left to their own devices. And this is part of the reason why they really made the decision to focus on creating their own content, like Run BTS.
So, oh, I could talk about this for forever.
I know.
But I think we need to get back to Run BTS.
Let's do it. We're finally going to talk about a Run BTS episode.
Woo woo!
Okay, so my first reaction to this video was they are the exact same.
And I think that is a testament to, I'm really big on integrity, like as a person. And I just think that is the thing that makes me want to be their fan. Because I just like that they're consistent. I like that, as you say, 6 years ago, they are this pretty much the same as they are now in personality. And it's like, you can't even go back to the same restaurant and get the same dish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
It was just honestly, like, I hadn't watched this before. And so for me to open it up and it feels like it could be next week's episode. Like, that's how normal it seems. I was just like, yeah, these are the same guys that I'm watching now 6 years later. So cool.
Yeah, that's true.
So each of the members are introduced one at a time, in typical, you know, Run BTS flash on screen. These are the members. And it's kind of in a random order, but I also thought we could just let all the ARMY know at this point, Polly, who our biases are.
Yeah, but of course we're OT7.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
do you want to go first?
Okay, so my bias is Jungkook. I am extremely basic. I always gravitate towards the center of any group. But I love Jungkook, and in this video, he is looking like an adorable little bunny. Like,
aww, he's cookie. Just
got that bunny vibe going, and he's so cute. And I don't really call him my bias wrecker because he's more than that to me.
Oh, he's between God. Bias and bias wrecker.
Yeah, he's like a
You need to create a new level.
He's like a co-bias, but like not, like Jungkook is my number one. Right, but right, I also really love Suga. And this, I think, is my fave Suga look. The bleach blonde hair, I think this Yoongi looks great. He looks really good. And I feel like you can tell that he's feeling himself.
Yeah. I do like a bleach blonde Suga. Mm-hmm. It's a good look for him. He does look good with lighter colors. I think it's because I'm really into color tones of people and what looks good with them and whatever. Because I've had a thought about this, thinking about RM's pink hair. Like, pink hair looks good on RM.
Yeah.
So I think he's warm toned.
Yes.
Whereas I think Yoongi is cool toned. So I feel like blonde, like bleach blonde, and obviously later era mint choco.
Yeah.
Looks good on him. Okay, so over to my biases. I think it's not as apparent in this era for me. And obviously I think it came in later.
Yeah. Into his own later, I think.
Yeah, I think generally in this era I'm like OT7, like okay. Truly. I don't have like a specific bias, although variety show content, Jimin is the star.
Yeah.
Like King of Betrayal, Max Slytherin, like
also adorable.
Extreme reactions, super adorable. And obviously because he's got great chemistry with everyone.
Yeah.
He really like brings that to the show. So I like Jimin a lot. But obviously, yeah, my BTS bias is the one and only, as he says, V Taeyong. And he's so like young in this. He like with V, he literally was like young, not young.
Yeah. He
like it just flipped a switch. Yeah.
Like when he started, he's not the maknae, but he looked young, like a baby.
Yeah.
And then it was like overnight he became incredibly attractive.
Yeah. Like I think this was maybe around, I mean, he's been attractive most, like, he's attractive in all eras. I think he is able to rock most eras. But I think maybe he came into his own more, like, fake love DNA era.
Yeah.
Like, where he became, like, just not young.
Yeah, it's in like a good way. The cheekbones and the jawline came out. The baby fat finally went away, maybe. And it was like, boom, I am V.
Boom. Yeah. So... we will get to that point in Run BTS, so stay tuned.
Yes. So those are our biases, but I think, the main point of this video is to introduce all of the members. So we can go through and kind of like quickly, I mean, they're doing it quickly anyways. This video is less than 4 minutes. We can tell you basically what they say. So Jimin starts off and he says he is attractive and talented. And you can already get that, like, Slytherin energy that you talked about, Polly.
Yeah, and we will see more Slytherin energy in episodes to come.
Yeah, he just kind of smirks at the camera, and it's like, okay, we see what's coming.
He does look good with red hair, I have to say.
Yes. Yeah, so obviously they do have dope era hair in this film, or in this video. We are going to talk more about... like placing this in the timeline of BTS in our next episode. So we will come back to that. But yeah, they do have dope era red hair Jimin.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. What about J-Hope?
So J-Hope is already calling himself a happy virus.
Like he's genuine to brand.
Yeah.
Like I didn't get it at first. And then you watch BTS content and then you get it.
Yeah.
Like, he literally is a happy virus. Like he just makes everyone smile.
Such a mood maker.
mood maker, 100%.
Yeah, so he goes, happy virus, and then he cackles. And then he goes, this is embarrassing.
I could see him doing that.
I love it. Oh, J-Ho. And then we go to Jen, who's the oldest in the group, and his description of himself is that he's muscular.
And at the moment, he is in current era. He is definitely not the most muscular of the group. There's serious hashtag close the gyms situation happening.
Yeah. But Jen has always had the nice, like, broad shoulder look, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, when he said this, it was kind of like he was trying to get the camera crew to laugh. So he also has this, like, dad joke vibe. With the camera crew trying to get them to laugh at his jokes.
And he wants to be the mood maker.
Yeah.
He's just not always the mood maker.
He's too introverted to be the real mood maker. Yeah.
J-Hope is the real mood maker, but Jin wants to be.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I can't even, like, I'm already getting, like, cringe adorableness from how cute Jungkook is. So he, like, comes out and he, like, adjusts his little suspenders. And he also, in this era, still has his gauges, which I love gauges. And, I mean, he doesn't say much because he is not the talker in the group. But he just looks so cute.
Yeah, I think so. So young.
So young.
So young.
Yeah.
Okay, next, your bias C/co-bias.
Yeah. So next is Suga, and he says, Min Suga, genius. Those two words are enough.
Yeah, I mean, he is a genius when it comes to producing music and writing rap and rapping.
Yeah.
And actually, he's honestly dancer. Like, on Dance Break, Suga did really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch it. Watch the On Kinetic film if you haven't watched it already.
I think it probably did his shoulder in, but he looks great.
I mean, that is commitment to dancing.
Yeah. Okay, so two more. Next, we have RM, who at this time was still going by Rap Monster. And he kind of weirdly only says, I take care of V.
And honestly, though, I know he said that in this video, and I wrote a note down. Like, he does take care of V.
Aw.
Like, if you look at all the Bangtan bombs, not all of them, but a lot of them to date, especially ones where V is like singing some musical, RM is always there, either singing with him, acting with him, or like he's just always there for V. And they've got a big like young brother, big brother energy.
Oh, that's precious.
Like specifically, because I just think in a lot of scenarios, and especially in the more recent Bangtan bombs, V is often doing something like attempting to sing opera or something. And like no one else engages with him except for RM.
Yeah.
So I do really like that even 6 years ago, RM is very cognizant of that. And it's really cute.
Yeah.
The RMV bromance.
That's true. Aww. But,
yeah.
And then finally, we have V on V Live.
Exactly.
And he says he's a sharp dresser.
Yeah.
Yeah, which he still is today.
But I feel like with V, he does change it up from time to time. I still remember we were talking about him changing into one of his outfits after recording Run BTS. And it was like t-shirt and a pair of trousers with like paint splotches on it.
Yeah. And I think it was like he had done it himself.
And there's like certain things that I think only he can pull off.
Yeah.
Obviously, but it's also like he would choose to wear it.
Yeah.
So, there's footage of him buying this hat, I think, in Chicago or something that is green. And everyone's like, and he's like, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's like, only he can, like, I don't know. It's not necessarily like I would want to wear everything he wears.
Right.
But he definitely has a distinct style that's different from the rest of them.
And it's kind of like, I mean, he is 4D. Like, there's no getting around that. Like, he's definitely in his own world at least half the time. But you can see that pay off in, like, his cool sense of style.
Yeah. And actually, that 4D-ness really adds to Run BTS.
Mm.
right? If everyone thought the same, if everyone did the same thing, it's not as entertaining either.
True.
You know, you need the odd person saying something really random or thinking a completely different way.
Or speaking a made-up language.
Yeah, for it to make more entertainment, yep. I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so every episode we watch, we will kind of give a star of the week.
Yeah.
So who is the star of the week for you?
For me, it's Suga because, as I said at the beginning, he was feeling himself and I love that for him.
And for me, it's Jimin.
Oh.
I just love, I don't know what it is, like seeing Jimin really like is a star. He's got like this star charisma quality to him when he's on Run BTS. Agreed. I can't explain it. You just can't stop watching him and you get really pulled in. So
agreed.
I have a feeling my stars might be a lot of Jimin, but we will see.
Amazing.
All right. So thanks for joining us this week. Next week, we are watching episode 2.
Woo-hoo.
So don't forget to join us on our Run BTS marathon. Tweet or DM us your thoughts at podbangtan, and we might include them in the next episode. Or if there's anything we talked about today that you think, not quite, let us know.
Definitely.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.